Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the October 25th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 582, God's Word is Our Great Heritage, hymn number 582, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Kevin and Judy Smith are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thankfulness for healthy children and grandchildren. Shirley Dittus and family are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of Vic Dittus's 101st birthday on October 27th.
I was telling Keith when I got here this morning, it was more like feeling, had that Easter feeling, you know, it was dark, it was cool, but not cold, and it was just kind of felt different this morning, so kind of nice, gives you a little pep, a little bit of energy. Our announcements, the same, Mite Box Month still going on, so if you have a pocket full of change you'd like to drop in the large mite box, please do so. Remember the 150th anniversary of the congregation, 70th anniversary of the radio broadcast. That note is in your bulletin and messenger, I think. And importantly, we have a voters meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. So we do still need to enact the business of the congregation. We have the election of officers and the approval of the budget. Those are the two big things on the docket for our voters assembly. Wow. Excuse me. You know, you think you're in shape, but then you forget your order of service and you have to run from the radio room to your office and run back. Whew. That's why it sounds like I'm out of breath, because I am out of breath. I had to run. Oh, well, not 24 anymore. Having said that, I'll take my break while you sing the opening hymn this morning. Let's turn to our opening hymn, God's Word is Our Great Heritage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I'm heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God on high. Be with you.
Let us pray.
O God, you have commanded us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Grant us the Spirit to think and do what is pleasing in your sight, that our faith in you may never waver and our love for one another may not falter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The first reading for this, the celebration of the festival of the Reformation, is from the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the conclusion?
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What does this mean?
This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so.
The epistle reading from Romans 3, beginning at the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is recorded in St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the next hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 702, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, hymn number 702 found in the Lutheran service book. This morning from
today's epistle reading. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, guilt. It's worth talking about for a little bit. Guilt. Unless someone is so completely self-absorbed that they think that their life revolves around themselves and themselves only, all of us are going to struggle with the issue of guilt in our lives. Guilt is something that we deal with not just in our interpersonal relationships, but also in our relationship with our God. And so you see, when it comes to guilt, right, we have a horizontal aspect to it, and we have a vertical aspect to that also. And I wonder sometimes, especially when we examine the circumstances of our lives, how often do we picture God as a threatening presence, keeping track of our every transgression and fault, a God who hovers over us as a thundercloud, ready to bring trouble and disaster for our sin. It's almost as if sometimes we think that God is there with His ledger, keeping track of everything. Got that. Oh, you over there, got that. Ooh, you are going to pay for that one right there. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, we often feel ourselves. And when calamity strikes us, our hearts yell out, "You must have done something to make God mad, or this wouldn't be happening to you." Yeah. We cannot escape the feeling that God is circling above us, ready to pounce with His wrath over every one of our misdeeds. But you know, and I know, that that view of God is just absolutely wrong. Just plain wrong. Our inborn guilt keeps us from seeing the depth of the love of God. And it keeps us from seeing and understanding the miracle of the incarnation. Do you ever think about the incarnation? I mean, just every once in a while, randomly pop into your head, the miracle of the incarnation, that God became flesh, that God became a human being for us. That is absolutely just a phenomenal idea and a phenomenal miracle. Yeah, it's Reformation, and you think, well, we're supposed to be hearing about Luther posting the 95 Theses on the church door at Wittenberg. Well, that's important too, but, you know, incarnation certainly is absolutely very much important for us. And we're going to hear about the incarnation of Christ today, because it is in the righteousness of Christ in the flesh that we have the forgiveness of our sins. Because what does faith do? Faith grasps the promise of God, that for the sake of Christ we are holy and righteous in His sight. Christ, who is wrapped in human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, is our righteousness. You see, God does not hold countless grudges against untold numbers of people for sins committed in innumerable ways. God has far better things to do than to hold grudges against humanity. He would rather hold us in His loving hands. He has taken hands then of human flesh, and He has brought us, drawn us into Himself, held us close to Himself. And the fact of the incarnation ends the argument with our guilt, with the immovable fact of God's love. The argument of guilt is ended. It is done. It is over with the immovable fact of God's love. Now, the fact that Jesus Christ came in the flesh doesn't make His person and work even any less than it would be. But we know that though born of Mary, what did we confess in the Creed? He is very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And we continue then on with His suffering and His death. You see, we end up being like Martha. Right? We end up being as the one who saw Jesus with our own eyes and then in turn confesses, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We are like Peter. You remember Peter? You know, Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" Well, some say you are Moses. Some say you are Elijah or one of the prophets came to life. But you, what are you? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are like Thomas, who's seen Jesus in the upper room, being shown hands and the wounded hands and the wounded side, and being invited to reach out and touch the flesh of our God. What we see with our own eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we also kneel and say, right along with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." They all confess one Christ for us, even as we all confess one Christ for us. Christ, who is God's gift in the flesh. This we see to the extent that in the face of our guilt, we find grace. Roll that around in your mind. In the face of our guilt, what do we find? We find grace. Now, the question then becomes, how do most people experience law? St. Paul in Romans here talks about law, and he talks about law quite a bit. He uses it with the article, "The Law," referencing the Ten Commandments. He also speaks of law, just the general law of God that we know that we have transgressed, everything that has been written for us, right? Law born in us, law written in our legal codes. Every nation has them. Everybody does. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know from youth what's not fair and what is fair. This law is in us and around us, and it comes through us. Our relationship to the law, though, is one of usually overwhelming guilt, right? We don't have to be doing anything wrong, but when the state trooper pulls behind us, the police officer pulls behind us and goes for a couple blocks behind us, our heart races, our pulse increases, and we wonder, what did we do? And we're waiting for the cherries to come on and be pulled over. Even though we didn't do it. That's our relationship to the law, right? You know what the relationship to the law is like. School, right? You're taking a test, okay? And you can't remember the answer. I'm taking a test. So you go like this. And then you look over, and you look at the teacher, and you see that the teacher's looking at you, and you do this. And then you look up again to see if the teacher's looking at you. Ah, she thinks I'm cheating. Right? Because you know what that feels like. Or maybe some of you even got busted actually cheating on a test. Got called out by the teacher after the class and said, "You're going to be retaking this test." We know what our relationship to the law is. Some of us have had to stand up in front of a judge and say, "Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor." And all kinds of things. Some of us have this much more vague, general manner when we feel a sense of being guilty that we cannot attach to some action. You know that sense of feeling guilty. The sense of feeling guilty, that vague sense, is like going on vacation and you get as far as, Champagne or something like that. If you're headed east, and then you kind of like get this sense of unease that you left the iron plugged in, right, before you left. That kind of thing, that vague sense of guilt that we might suffer through and have. There are some, though, there are some people who don't feel guilty unless they're absolutely 100% responsible for a situation, but if they didn't cause the situation, they don't feel guilty about it. But that's probably very, very minimal. But what we have to understand that each of us, that our guilt is theological. Because the feelings of guilt are simply symptoms. And the feelings of guilt we have are symptoms of breaking God's law. And this we cannot fix. There's nothing we can do about it because the standard is absolutely way too high. We can't make it right. Romans 3:10. There is no one who is righteous. No, not even one. And when we feel this, we are not just breaking a law, but what are we doing? We know that we are violating God Himself. We are transgressing God Himself. And that is a very important thing. God has us dead to rights and called into the courtroom of our God. We know that there's only one thing that He is going to do to us, and He is going to throw the book at us. And if we realize then that God is going to throw the book at us, we have no recourse but to throw ourselves on God's mercy, because it is apparent to us that the wages of sin is death. Yes, it is. The wages of sin is death. But grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. What you say is those words. Those words begin just about every Lutheran sermon and every Lutheran church in the whole world. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Very important words. And not just words, but they are just, holy, or righteous words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace pardons us. Mercy heals and comforts and restores us. But the result of all of that is that we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The good news of the Reformation is the good news, period. That for the sake of Christ you are free. You are held to be guiltless. God has declared you not guilty. God pardons you for the sake of the work of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the face of guilt comes grace. Grace which pardons. Grace which is our peace with God. Sin now excludes no one from being declared righteous by God, for the promise of grace extends as far as sin reaches. For the sake of Christ and the sacrifice of the God-man, because of the incarnation, because of God made flesh, because Jesus bore the full brunt of the wrath of God for you, because Jesus, and this is the way we would put it in our modern day parlance, Jesus took the bullet for you. That is exactly what he did. He stepped in front of the bullet and he took it for you in your place. Because of that, you are declared innocent. You are guilty no more. And hearing that you are now guiltless, today you are invited to come before the altar of your God. Come in reverence, yes, absolutely. Come in respect, 100%, for the God who declares you innocent. But come, come in the word of the God who declares you innocent as pure gift. Come, cast all your sins at the foot of the cross, trusting in the Jesus who did all on your behalf. Come and receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Come and lay claim to the promises of your baptism, that in those precious waters, all that Christ did covers you, and you are draped in His righteousness. For in baptism we are clothed in Christ's righteousness that covers all our sin. As St. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him in a death like His, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. And so connected to Christ, you are now guiltless. So you are invited today to go. Return to your homes. Go now in the peace of Christ, knowing that when your heavenly Father looks at you, He looks at you through the wounds of Christ. He looks at you through the incarnation, through the cross, through the empty tomb. And when the Father looks through those wounds of His dear Son, Jesus Christ, in those wounds He reads the verdict: not guilty. And hearing the verdict of not guilty, you should behave and feel like everybody who hears those words, rejoicing and leaving in peace. But you this day leave in the peace of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that in Him you are righteous and holy in the sight of God. Go now in peace. Amen. And may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Almighty God, you have shown your faithfulness by raising up those in every generation who call your church to repentance and renewal. Continue to raise up voices in our own day who will proclaim the truth of your word against all its enemies. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, you have removed from us the guilt of our sin. Help us to live lives freed from the fears, the doubts, and the guilt that assails us, so that daily we may rise and go forth in the peace of Christ, to live in the joy of those who have received the verdict, innocent. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Holy and gracious God, your power is often made known in showing mercy to those in need. Give healing to the sick. Especially this morning do we pray for Kathy Beaver, who is currently in the hospital undergoing tests to find out what is wrong with her. We pray for Carl Awe, Eleanor Gunderman, Dennis Ramlow, Bob Holscutter, and all those who also recuperate from hospitalizations or surgeries. Grant strength in healing to them. We also bring before you our prayers this day for Lori Bishop, as her father Raymond is quarantined in the hospital for COVID. Bear up, O Lord, Raymond, who is in advanced years and faces a tough battle. And bear up Lori, who cannot see her father but bears the emotional weight of caring for him, even as she continues her daily labors at her job. We ask for strength and healing to the end, that those who pray to you, that you would give glory to your holy name through health and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of power and might, you have established government and the order of law among us for the protection of all people, and to preserve the freedom to worship you in spirit and truth. Grant to those who govern over us wisdom, humility, and integrity, that all may enjoy true justice and the protection of life from conception until its natural end. In Christ's name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
we rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 657. A mighty fortress is our God, number 657 in the Lutheran Service Book.
please remember voters meeting this Tuesday. Also notice the quilts that are in the empty pews. The quilters have still been hard at work and are getting ready to send those out. And also I think there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys who are probably going to leave here and hit the fields pretty hard. So be safe, guys, okay, as you're out there. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.